taut. There were other threads, too, shredded and thin and weak, and they pulled toward the White Wolf, the Alpha, even as the thought of another Alpha in my territory made me want to bare my teeth in anger. These threads spread to him and through him out to the others, to the other two wolves by his side, to the witch that came to stand next to them. He ran his hands over the betas, arms flaring, the raven's mouth open in a silent call as it flew up along his arm and out of sight onto his back. They were protecting him, much like my pack was protecting Robbie, idiot that he was. It didn't matter that family was spreading out among two packs. All that mattered was the bonds between us that told us nothing touched pack, that nothing harmed what was ours. If it came down to it, they would fight each other. Joe, though. Joe wasn't moving. By rights, he could. He was attacked unprovoked. And was his pack really advancing? Or were they defending? I couldn't do this. I couldn't have this. Not like this. Robbie took a step forward, spittle dripping down into the grass as he rumbled deep in his chest. Carter crouched low, and I said, "Stop!" My voice was a crack in the air. All the wolves stopped at once, ears flattening to the backs of their heads. Except Joe. His eyes grew brighter. Even the humans took a step back, reacting to their alpha, eyes wide, shoulders tense. They waited. There was an order here. No matter how much I wanted to go to Joe, wanted to make sure the wounds in his neck were closing, that the red on his throat was nothing serious, I couldn't, because I had to tend to my own first. His eyes tracked every step I took. I knelt in front of Robbie. I cupped his face in my hands. His eyes were wide and wet. One of the wolves behind me, Carter, I thought, growled, but was cut off with a low bark from Joe. Elizabeth and Mark nosed along Robbie's sides and stomach, licking at the body hair while he kept his eyes on me. I tightened my grip, just slightly. "I know what you are doing," I said in a low voice, though all the wolves could hear me. "But you can't do that." He whined and tried to lick my hands, but I held him still. "I don't need you to fight for me," I said. "Especially when there was no need to fight at all. Not against each other." He shifted then, and I felt it under my hands, the way his bones broke and reformed, the way the hair receded, the muscles jumping. It was like I was holding a bag of writhing snakes, and I shuddered at the feel of it. I didn't hold a wolf's face in my hand. It was now a man, and he was furious. He snapped. "He was in your head. I could hear him. He had no right to..." "What the hell are you talking about?" I asked, dropping my hands. Robbie gritted his teeth and shook his head, eyes darting over my shoulder in a glare. "Robbie, I asked you..." "He's right," Rico said. "We could hear him." I looked back at the others. They stood nervously behind me, well away from the wolves, but ready to attack if needed. They weren't angry like Robbie, but they were spooked. "What do you mean?" Rico glanced at Tanner, who nodded once. "Like when we hear you. Just, you're our alpha, okay? Big boss man. We can feel the others. We can. But not like, not clear. Not like we can hear and feel you." And Joe was loud. Everything. It was overwhelming. Elizabeth and Mark shifted too, their bodies straining. "I will never get used to that," Rico muttered. "Hi, Mrs. Bennett. How lovely to see you. You're naked. Again." Elizabeth ignored him. "We could hear him too." "I thought you always could," I said. "You told me that you..." "Not like this. The bond between a mother and her sons is different than this. I looked to Mark, who nodded. Shit, I muttered. Ox, Elizabeth said. This isn't forcing an issue you're not yet ready to face. If anything, it's reinforcing the fact that there is something between you two. That there has always been, since the day you first met. That's nothing new. You've known that for a very long time. It shouldn't be like this, Robbie said. He's pushing himself back onto Ox and... Robbie, Elizabeth said. Enough. But he can't do that. Carter and Kelly snarled at him. Robbie looked to me. I didn't want to hurt him. Nor did I want to embarrass him any more than he probably already was. Not in front of everyone. I can take care of myself, I told him quietly. I know, he retorted. But you shouldn't have to. I don't know them. I don't know what they'll do. I do, I said. I know them. I've known them for a very long time. Not what they've become, he said. People change, Ox, you know that. You knew them a long time ago. You don't know what they've done in the last 3 years, where they've been, what they've seen. Do you trust me? He blinked. Of course I do. You're my alpha. Then you have to trust me on this, I said, trapping him neatly, and probably a bit unfairly. He took a step back, glancing between me and the other pack. Joe stood between his brothers, not making a single sound, just watching, waiting. He was letting me handle this, but I also knew he was trying to figure out just how close the bond between Robbie and me was. Robbie scowled at me. That's not how this works. Maybe, but nothing about us is how normal things work. We're not like everyone else. And then there's the fact that he could have killed you. I can handle myself. He's an alpha, Robbie. But stop, I said, my voice deepening the smallest amount. He flinched. Carter and Kelly whined. Go, I said. All of you. Run. Robbie, stay here. He groaned. The others left, Mark and Elizabeth shifting back into wolves. She pressed her nose against my hand before she followed Mark into the trees. Carter and Kelly waited at the tree line for Joe, who hadn't yet moved. They glared at Robbie, daring him to make a move. I'll be right behind you, I told Joe. His eyes flashed red before he turned toward his brothers and disappeared into the dark. You love him, Robbie said, as soon as they were out of earshot. Does it matter? I asked. He's an alpha, invited here tonight, and you attacked him. What the hell were you thinking? He shouldn't have been... Robbie, that wasn't for you to decide. He looked hurt at that. How am I supposed to protect you if you... He gave me his wolf when he was 10 years old. Did you know that? Robbie made a choked noise, face slackened by shock. I didn't know what it meant. Not at the time. But he gave it to me. The day after he met me. Because he knew. And when I found out what it meant, I tried to give it back. I tried to tell him he was wrong. That he'd chosen the wrong person. That I wasn't good enough for someone like him. Someone brave and smart and kind. And he wouldn't hear any part of it. Because I was it. He'd already decided that I was it for him. I didn't know that, Robbie said quietly. Not that it went back that far. There has always been him and me, I said. And I think there always will be, no matter what we decide to do. Even if we're just friends, or allies, or something more, there will always be him and me, because that's what we chose. You love him. Robbie repeated. I didn't have it in me to deny it. For a very long time, I said, staring out to where Joe had disappeared. I'm sorry, Robbie said, sounding hurt and confused. I shouldn't have. I held out my arm for him, and he rushed over, curling into my side, his head near my chest as he wrapped his arms around my waist, claws prickling my skin. He trembled as I dropped my arm onto his bare shoulders, running my hand through his hair. We were quiet for a time. Eventually, he sniffed. "So," he said, "Kelly is kind of cute." I tilted my head back and laughed. We found the packs in the forest late into the night. I pushed Robbie toward them. He shifted and fell on four legs. He looked back at me once and nodded, before turning and trotting toward Rico and Elizabeth. Carter and Kelly watched him warily, but didn't make any aggressive movement toward him. Gordo arched an eyebrow at me. I shook my head. Nothing further needed to be said. Joe sat along the outside of the group, looking at his mother as she gnawed on what had been a rabbit at one point. His ears twitched as I approached, but that was all the acknowledgement I got. I didn't think he was upset, but I could have been wrong. I sat next to him, leaving enough space between us that we didn't touch. His throat was still red, but the blood looked tacky. The wound had healed. I said, "He didn't mean it." Joe huffed. I said, "You don't understand how it is for him. You weren't here." Joe growled low in his throat. I ignored it. "He didn't mean it, not like you think." Joe didn't look at me. "Tomorrow," I said, and this time, it was a promise. I didn't say anything more. We watched our packs as they ran together, as they lay together, as they bickered and laughed and howled out their songs together. We sat there for the rest of the night. And I didn't say anything as Joe moved closer to me, pressing up against my side, as the sky began to lighten in the east. Chapter 29. Love. I went into the garage later in the day so Tanner and Chris could go home and get some sleep. They blinked at me blearily before yawning and heading out toward the SUV, where Elizabeth waited to take them away. Before I'd gotten out of the car, she'd stopped me with a hand to the arm and said, "Whatever you decide, make sure it's the right choice for you." Rico nodded at me as I entered the garage. "Gordo's in the office," he said quietly. "Is it weird to be surprised every time I see him here again?" I shrugged. "We'll get used to it. It's not like he's going anywhere." Rico snorted. "That's what I would have said 3 years ago." And yeah, that stung, because he was right. I would have said the same thing. And I didn't know if I could trust my own words. Gordo was sitting behind his desk, hunting and pecking at the keyboard as he frowned at the computer screen. "What is this?" he growled. "None of this makes any sense." "We had to upgrade to a new system while you were gone," I said. "The old one was outdated." "It wasn't outdated. It worked just fine with what I used it for." "You weren't using it." He glared up at me. "This going to be a thing now?" "Probably," I said easily. "For how long?" "As long as I think it's necessary." He scowled at the monitor. "Fucking alphas," he muttered. "You okay in here?" "Peachy. I'll just sit here and try to figure out how to use something that we don't even need." "Pain in my ass," I said as I went out to the shop floor. Rico was right. It was weird to see him there, to see him leaning against the office door, arms across his chest, as he listened to Rico singing a song in Spanish, to hear him growling into the phone at a supplier, telling them they were out of their goddamn mind if they thought he was going to pay that much. He was running a business, and he could go somewhere else. To feel his hand on the back of my neck, squeezing once as he walked by. It was weird. Good, but weird. You want a ride? He asked as we closed the garage. We waved at Rico as he drove off in his old Corolla. It was only three, but we were slow today. I shook my head. He waiting for you? Probably. You gonna fix this? Why? Why what? Why do you care? He scoffed. Right. Why the fuck do I care? I wonder why the fuck I care about you, and Joe, and your bullshit. Huh, Onks? I don't know. It's good to know some things don't change. Use your fucking head, Ox. I care about this because I care about you. Yeah, Gordo. I know. Then fix this, he said. We didn't risk our lives for this long just to come back and have both of you pussy out. That's not how these things work. I couldn't help but feel a little awed by him. That's different. What is? He asked, locking the front doors. Used to be. You didn't want me in this. With them. With this. He tilted his face toward the heavens as he rolled his eyes, like he was asking the good Lord for strength to deal with someone like me. I'd seen that look a lot in my lifetime, but coming from him, it didn't feel like it did with others. He was my friend. Still. Used to be, he said, slightly mocking. I hadn't been through what I've been through now. You didn't care about them before. He looked pained. Things were different, okay? I didn't know then what I know now. Which is? He shook his head. It doesn't matter. Not in the long run. And you shouldn't be talking to me about this, Ox, you know that. He's waiting for you. He's been waiting for you. It's time for you to pull your head out of your ass. Ah, I said. I suppose I could say the same for you then. If things have changed. If you've been through shit. If you can pull your head out of your ass. Ox, I swear to. Chicken shit. Fuckhead. I grinned at him. He reached out and cupped the back of my neck and brought our foreheads together. We kept our eyes open. He looked blurry this close up. I swore I felt little tendrils of his magic arcing along my skin, little pricks of electric light. We stayed like that for a moment. Then he pulled his head back and kissed my forehead, a firm press of lips. He pushed me away and stalked toward his truck. Fix it, Ox, he called over his shoulder. Or end it. Let him explain to you or don't. Just do something. Because the longer you draw this out, the more I want to punch you in the face. Your ridiculous feelings are spreading through all of us, and it makes me want to vomit. I loved that man more than I could ever say. He was waiting for me on the dirt road, just as I knew he would be. I couldn't spit out, not yet. I couldn't walk by him and pretend he wasn't there. I couldn't pretend like my heart hadn't been broken for a very long time, that I was indifferent to him standing in front of me. Not now. Not anymore. He said, Hey, Ox. I said, Hey, Joe. He smiled, but it was a trembling thing. I tried to smile back. I don't know how good it was. He said, Guess we have to talk. I said, Yeah, guess we do. We sounded ridiculous. He sighed. Look, hey, just whatever happens, whatever you decide, I need you to know that I meant what I said. When you said what? Everything I've ever said to you. Everything, Ox. My throat closed just a tad. Yeah, Joe, I said roughly. Okay. He nodded before turning and walking down the dirt road. I fell into step behind him. My hand brushed against his. I didn't know if it was on purpose or not. I cursed myself for not having enough courage to just reach out and take hold of his hand. We'd done it countless times before. Before he'd... Just before. But he decided for us. Since the next time we touched, he latched on, curling his fingers against my own, my thumb pressed against the pulse point in his wrist, feeling the nervous, erratic beat that bounced under his skin. I held on as tightly as I could. The old house was empty when we arrived. The house at the end of the lane was lit up, wolves moving around inside. The humans were in their own homes. I thought maybe Robbie was out in the woods somewhere, but I couldn't be sure. I was too overwhelmed by Joe. It was thoughtful, leaving us alone, but they weren't being subtle. But then, I didn't know if werewolves knew how to be subtle. I didn't know if I did either, for that matter. He hesitated briefly, looking up at the house, and I remembered the day he was on my back, that little tornado who said he was sorry for whatever had just made me sad. He hadn't been in the house since that night, since Thomas and my mom died. I dropped his hand, and he sighed as we moved up the steps to the porch. The door was unlocked. I pushed it open, and he followed me inside. His eyes flashed red as soon as he crossed the threshold, claws and teeth popping out like he had no control over them. He said, "Shit. Oh, Jesus. It's not the same. It's not like..." "Joe," I said sharply, making sure I stayed a careful distance away. "I can smell him," Joe snarled through a mouthful of sharp teeth. "He's been here. He stays here. He's in the wood. He's in the walls. He's..." It hit me then. "Robbie." Joe looked over at me, and I thought for the briefest of moments that I wouldn't reach my crowbar in time, that regardless if I was an alpha, I was still a human alpha, and Joe was anything but. "I almost tore into him," Joe said, taking a step toward me. "The first time I saw him. The way he stood by you, the way he touched you. He knew you. He'd known you for years. I knew that before either of us even said a word. And you were just standing there. You were just allowing it to happen. I come home, and I find him. And he's touching." He was standing right in front of me, blood dripping from his hands in little drops where his claws had pierced his palms. His eyes were wide and wild, each breath sounding like it was being forcibly pushed from his chest. His words were spoken in a low growl, and he was big, so very big. But I wasn't afraid of him. I'd never been afraid of him. I said, "Joe." "Ox," the wolf growled, and I could feel his breath on my face. "He lives here. He is part of my pack, and he lives here. He lived here for a long time before he moved into the main house. You know this. I know you've been told this. Your mother, Mark, the others, they told you." Joe blinked rapidly, eyes flickering red, then back to their normal blue. He took a step back, looking horrified. I didn't mean to." "Stop," I said. "It's not..." "I would have hurt him," Joe blurted, sounding impossibly young. "If I'd thought I could have gotten away with it, I'd have hurt him. That first day, when he came at me, it took holding back every piece of me, and even then it almost wasn't enough. I would have killed him without a second thought." "I know." "You don't know," Joe snapped. "You don't know what it felt like. Coming home, finally coming back home, and finding him, and all of you, just like you were, just like you didn't even need the rest of us." I nodded, taking a step back, trying to put a little distance between us, before I reached out and clocked the fuck out of his face. "So that's how it's going to be," I said, gritting my teeth. "That's how it is. We're going to do this. Now, this way." This startled him. "What? What do you mean? What way?" I took another step back, just to be safe, because I might have cared about him, and I might have been waiting for this day. But sometimes, oh, sometimes, Joe Bennett could be so fucking stupid. My mother died, I said, as evenly as I could. My alpha died. The boy I loved, the decision I made, my choice, turned into an alpha. And a little over a week later, he was gone. Ox, Joe said, you know why I had to. No, I said coolly, I don't. I don't know shit about what you had to do. He narrowed his eyes. You told me he couldn't get away with this. You sat there next to me and told me Richard Collins had to pay for what he'd done to you, to us, to our pack. My mother had just been murdered, I growled at him. I wasn't thinking clearly. And I was? Clearly enough that you made a fucking decision behind my back. You just said your mother had been murdered. You weren't thinking clearly. He started pacing in front of me. Do you really think I wanted to put any more weight on your shoulders? That I wanted to drag you into this further than you already were? Ox, I was a 17-year-old alpha who had been tortured by the man who had just killed my father. I wasn't thinking about the pack. I wasn't even thinking about my mother, God help me. I was thinking about you. And the only way that I could protect you. So you kept everything from me until the last minute? I said, and then disappeared for 3 years, because that was the best way to protect me? He stopped pacing and stared at me as if I was stupid. For a moment, I hated him, because I remembered my dad giving me a similar look. I didn't disappear. Bullshit, I snapped at him. Don't you try and tell me otherwise, Joe Bennett, because anything else would be a lie. His jaw tensed, and he fisted his hands. He took a breath, visibly trying to calm himself down. I tried to do the same, because if things went any further like this, they'd just end before they even began. I hadn't meant for it to get like this, at least not yet. Look, he said, I made choices, because I had to. They may not have been the best in the long run, but they were the best at the time. You can't fault me for that. I laughed bitterly. Yeah, Joe. Funny thing is that I can. And I do. That's the problem. I walked toward the kitchen, trying to get as far away from him as I could. I leaned against the counter. He stayed near the door. Ox? Did you know? What? About me? I don't understand. But I thought maybe he did. That I'd become like this. Like how I am now. An alpha. A human alpha. He started to shake his head, but then stopped and sighed. Maybe. Maybe, I repeated. He rubbed a hand over his face. Dad thought, well, Dad thought a lot of things about you. You know that, right? That you were his in all but blood. I don't think he saw any difference between Carter and me and Kelly and you. You were his just as much as we were. It hurt in a good way, like pressing against a loose tooth, a bittersweet ache that clawed at my heart. Yeah, Joe, I said hoarsely. I saw that. Maybe not at the time, but now? I know now. Joe nodded. Sometimes, when we went out into the woods, just me and him, we'd talk, you know? About the pack. About what it meant to be an alpha. About you. We talked a lot about you. Things I never told you about. Things he never got the chance to tell you himself. I waited, not wanting to interrupt. After you left, he said, looking down at his hands. That first day I found you. They just stared at me. For a long time. Especially him. They hadn't heard me talk since... Well, since Richard. because of the things he'd done to me, the way he'd broken me. But you, Ox, it wasn't like anything I'd ever felt, okay? Just look, they stared at me, they listened to me, they smiled at me, they hugged and laughed and cried, but I kept saying, Ox, Ox, Ox. And I knew then what it meant, even if I didn't quite understand. When I told them I wanted to give you my wolf, they were scared, okay? Because they understood. We'd come home, trying to find a way to help me, to fix me, and the very first day I'd found you, brought you home, spoken for the first time in over a year, and then told them what you were to me, even if I didn't use the right words. He looked back up at me, expression stark and pleading. They were scared, Ox, but I was sure. I was so goddamn sure about you. I wanted you to have the thing that mattered the most to me, aside from my pack. When you're little, you're given your wolf and taught that one day you will find a person to give it to, that it will be a token of everything they are to you. Dad, he... Mom, she didn't want me to, not then. She wanted to wait. She told me it would mean more if I knew you better, if you knew what you were getting into. She told me that I didn't have to do anything, that you weren't going anywhere. I didn't care. And Dad knew that. He could see it, okay? I told him that it was my choice, because that's what we're told, that it always comes down to choice. And you chose me, I said quietly. He laughed and rubbed his eyes. Yeah, Ox, I did. You know I did. And Dad, he knew I would. He knew I wouldn't not. So he told Mom it was all right. That when a wolf knows, he knows. But that's the thing. I didn't know. Not about you. I always knew something about you. But I didn't know what he meant, okay? I didn't. All I heard was, yes, Joe, yes, you can give the one thing you want to give to the one person you want to give it to. He helped me, too. He brought out the box I put it in, gave me the ribbon to tie it with. And I never asked him. I never asked her. But I think it's the same one he used when he gave his to my mother. The house creaked around us. I couldn't find a single word to say. That wasn't unusual. Sure, I'd gotten better over the years. An alpha couldn't be silent, not really. But I still had trouble with words sometimes. It wasn't that I didn't have any. It was that I had too many. And they all got stuck trying to come out at once. But that was okay. Because Joe had plenty. He knew, he said. Even then, I think he knew something was different about you. That you were wonderful and kind and amazing, but that there was something else. Not something more, because what you were was already enough. It was already a part of you. He recognized it. I don't know how, but... Ox, he knew, okay? I really think he knew. He was watching me. I knew I had to say something, anything, to fill the silence that followed his words. I owed it to him, to myself. I said, I still have it. He nodded and gave a wobbly smile that quickly disintegrated. Okay, he said in a choked voice. Okay, yeah. You do? That's real good, Ox. I know things aren't the same. He stopped whatever he was going to say. I'm not the same, I said. I know, he said. I knew that the moment I got here. Even before. I stepped back into the territory and knew. Did you know that I was an alpha? Here, after you left? He shook his head. I hadn't heard about you. Alpha Hughes knows. He looked surprised. Why? Did they? Robbie. Joe scowled. Robbie. He came here to spy on us, maybe? I don't know. He was the new Osmond. And you let him in the pack? Joe demanded. I watched him coolly. He doesn't belong to Hughes. He belongs to me. He recoiled like I'd slapped him. Ox, you know what Osmond did. He betrayed my father. For all we know, Hughes was in on it too. They could have wanted him dead for years. He's not, I said. It's not like that. You don't know that, Joe spat. They said the same thing about Osmond. Is this because of Robbie? Or is it because of you? What the hell? He is my friend, Joe. That's it. Right, Joe said, giving up all pretense. And nothing more. He doesn't want anything more. I don't want anything more. He can't. He's not. I told him. He knows. Knows what? But I wasn't ready for that. It would be too easy to let him off the hook. And part of me wanted to. I was already tired of this. Of the anger. I said, "You cut us out." He took a step back. Ox, you said I'm sorry. In the middle of the night, when you knew I wouldn't see it. Like a coward. You said I'm sorry, and then I didn't hear anything from you. We didn't hear anything from you. For years. He was revving himself up for another fight. I could see it in his stony expression. But I wasn't going to let this one go. He had been wrong about a lot of things. But I thought this had been his worst mistake. I did what I had to do, he said, voice even. What you had to do, I echoed. And why was that? We couldn't have the distraction. I snorted. Right, we, meaning all of you. Meaning you all agreed. He hesitated. You didn't, I said. Did you? All of you didn't agree. It doesn't. I slammed my hand against the countertop. Don't you say it doesn't matter. It matters. All of it matters. I understand what it must have been like for you, Joe. I get it.
You don't get anything, he exploded. You don't get it, because you weren't there.
And whose choice was that? I said coldly. You made it perfectly clear that.
Don't, he said, pointing a claw at me. You don't get to say I didn't need you. You don't get to say that when it's not true. I needed you. I needed you too fucking much.
That was the problem, wasn't it? I said, answer slowly locking into place. I was your tether. And you couldn't have me be your tether. Not with what you set out to do.
Every time I saw your words, he said. Every time I wrote back to you, the more I wanted to come home. To you, to the others. And I couldn't, Ox, I couldn't. Because I had a job to do. He had taken from me. And worse, he had taken from you. And I couldn't do what needed to be done while being reminded of home. So yes, I stopped. I cut you all out. I did it because I cared too much about you to be able to do what I needed to do. I told myself that if I kept you separated from me, from this, I'd be keeping you safe.
You were wrong, I said. We weren't safe. Not all the time.
I know, he said, deflating. They told me. The others. I didn't think.
No, you didn't. You only had one thing you focused on.
Revenge, he said. Rage. The need to find him and make him suffer.
And you didn't. I didn't mean it to come out like it did, like I was accusing him.
His shoulders slumped. No. We were close. So many times. But he always managed to be one step ahead. I tried, Ox. I tried to make things right, but I couldn't. So I just kept going.
Would you even be here? I asked, if you didn't think he was coming for us again. He said, I don't know. And the honesty hurt. I nodded. My head felt stuffed. I didn't know what else to do. Why would he come here now? Why, after all this time, would he come back? Why not before? I don't know. When is he going to get here? I don't know. What do we need to do? I don't know. What the fuck do you know? I snarled at him. You have wasted 3 goddamn years of our lives for nothing? He flinched, eyes on the floor. I couldn't stop. Not now that I'd broken open. Tell me, Joe. Was it worth it? Was it worth keeping me safe like you think you did? Was it worth leaving us all behind so you could go after a fucking ghost? I don't. Don't tell me you don't know, I roared at him. Tell me one fucking thing you do know. That I love you. His breath hitched in his chest. And I couldn't breathe. Everything felt too loud, too real, too bright. I wanted to hurt myself to know if I was dreaming or awake. Of all the things he could have said, I expected that the least. And it wasn't fair. I croaked out, What? He didn't look up at me, eyes trained on the floor. When he spoke, he sounded smaller than I'd ever heard him. He said, I don't know a lot. Not anymore. Everything changed. You did. The pack. The people in it. This place isn't like it was when we left. And Carter and Kelly, they fit again. Like it was nothing. Like we hadn't been gone at all. With Mom. With Mark. With all those strangers. And with you. And Gordo. Gordo, Ox. He didn't even need to worry. Because he always had you. Even though he tied himself to me somehow that night. Even though he became mine. He was always yours. They all are. And I'm here just... I don't know why I'm here. I messed up, Ox. He wiped his eyes, and something shattered in my chest. I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I was keeping you all safe. But I was selfish. Because I just wanted to keep you safe. To keep you away from the monsters. If you didn't know me, if you had never met me, you wouldn't be here right now. Your mom would be alive, and you would be happy. I thought you'd want it that way. The longer I was gone, the easier it would be to forget me and everything I've done to you. I wanted to come home, Ox. All I wanted to do was come home. Because without you, I don't have a home. Joe, I said. He raised his hand, cutting me off. Just let me. I know you have a choice, still. And I know I've done nothing to make you still choose me. And I'm okay with that. Because if there's... His voice was strangled and harsh. Someone else. Or if there could be, I don't want to stand in the way of that. I just want to be wherever you are, as your friend, or packmate, or just me and you like it was before all of this. You don't have to keep the wolf, Ox. You don't have to. I just needed to be near you, because I'm tired, okay? I'm so tired of this, of running, of not getting what I want. I just want you. Please, just let me have you. Please. Nothing else matters if I can't have you. Just let me. Please, just let me. You're the alpha here now, but please don't make me leave. His face was wet by the time he'd finished. He had shifted part way, close to losing it to the wolf completely. I didn't know how strong his control was anymore, given that I'd only seen him shift once on the night of the full moon. And it wasn't that I didn't trust him, at least with this. Joe would never hurt me, not physically. I didn't want to fight this anymore. I didn't want to fight him. I took a step toward him. His eyes flared again. "Don't," he said. "You can't. Ox, I'm slipping." "You won't," I said. "You can't know that," he pleaded. "It's not the same. I can't find my way back because it's not the same." I knew that. We both did. Some might have seen us and wondered how we'd gotten this far. After everything we'd been through. After everything we'd both done. He'd left. I'd stayed. I took his place, whether I'd meant to or not. I'd spent a good while angry at him. He spent the same time angry at himself. None of that mattered, though. Maybe it would again, and soon. But right now, I just couldn't take the thought of not touching him one second longer. "No," he said. "No, no, no, you can't." I stood in front of him. His back was against the door. Our knees knocked together. My hands brushed his. It felt like such a tremendous thing, after all this time. He growled at me, more wolf than man, and I took his face in my hand, that half-shifted face, white hair sprouting and receding, like he was stuck somewhere between the two. As soon as my fingers touched his skin, he shuddered against the touch, and there was a moment when I thought it wouldn't be enough, that too much had come between us for him to ever find his way back again, because I understood now what his choice had cost him. He might have been an alpha, and he might have had his brothers, and Gordo was with him to keep him sane, but he was almost an omega, too, having cut ties from his tether in order to give himself to his wolf. He hadn't been able to focus on me, because I kept him human. He'd given that up for the wolf, to become the predator, the hunter. It couldn't have all been for nothing. These past 3 years couldn't have been nothing. They weren't. Because I was here, standing tall, even though I felt like crumbling. My daddy had told me people were going to give me shit, and that it was going to hurt. My father was a liar. Everything had been shit. But I was still fucking standing. I said, "Hey, Joe." And he looked up at me, with fire-red eyes, skin along his face rippling with the shift. He said, "Ox." My mother took me to church once, after my daddy had left. She thought maybe we could both use some Jesus. Joe said my name, like the preacher spoke about God, reverent, filled with awe, terror, and adoration. I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't know that I deserved that. I did the only thing I could think of. I kissed Joe Bennett, there, in the old house, and for a moment, everything was all right. It was like before. Only not. We lay side by side in my old bed, facing each other. We didn't fit in it like we used to. I hadn't changed much, maybe gotten a little wider, but not much else. Joe, though, Joe had changed. He took up more room than he ever had before. It was a tight fit, but we made it work. One of his legs was pressed between mine. I held it in place. We shared the same pillow. I told myself it was just because we couldn't have him falling off the bed, but really, I just wanted him as close as I could get him. He didn't mind. I thought maybe he wanted to be close, too. We didn't speak much, at least for a little while. I felt like all I'd been doing is talking lately, and it was nice to have a break, to not need words. It wasn't going to last. But that was okay. It was enough for now. He'd walked into the room, and it was much like the first time he'd ever done so, eyes darting everywhere, taking everything in. I didn't know what he saw, what differences were here, what differences there were in me, but I saw the exact moment he found the little stone wolf, still sitting atop my old desk. He froze, and the whine that came out was more wolf than human, a low, wounded noise that hurt my heart. He hadn't made a move for it, hadn't even reached an arm out to touch it, but he knew it was there all the same, what it meant for me, and for him. He didn't take his eyes away from me as we lay in that bed. They roamed over my face, like he was trying to memorize me all over again. I can't say I wasn't doing anything different. I wondered what I'd see if he couldn't heal like he could, what kind of scars there'd be, what stories they'd tell. I had my fair share. My stomach, my right arm. My back was the worst from when that Omega had gotten me the night Thomas had died. They told my stories. I couldn't tell Joe's. The world moved outside of my room, but we ignored it. He reached out and ran a finger along my eyebrows, my cheek, my forehead, the tip of my nose. He brushed it against my mouth, and I kissed it, the barest press of my lips. I wanted more from him, more than I'd wanted from anyone else before, and it would be easy to take, because he'd given me his everything. I couldn't do it, though. Not yet. I thought maybe I was on my way to forgiveness, if there was still anything left to forgive, but I wasn't there yet. And I still had a pack to think of, a territory to protect. I didn't want to speak, but I had to. I said, "Joe." He said, "Yeah, Ox." And for a moment my breath caught, because for all the times I'd imagined him finally back with me, here in my bed, I never really expected it to feel like this. He must have heard the tripping of my heart, because he pressed a hand against my chest. The angle was awkward, not really enough space for him to press too hard, but I knew what he was doing. My heartbeat slowed, calmed. "I need to know," I finally said. He gave a little hum, eyes glinting. "He's coming here."
"Yes."
"Again?"
"Yes."
"Why?" His teeth were sharper.
"Because that's what he does. He's no longer rational. He has lost himself to his wolf. I don't think he even remembers what it was like to be human. The wolf, it thinks differently, Ox. It's still us. We're still here. But when we change, when we shift, it's not about rational anymore. It's about base instinct. Things are more black and white. It's the human side that deals in shades of gray. He's lost that way of thinking. He gave up his humanity because he blames humans for destroying his family. It doesn't need to be more complex than that."
"Why now?"
I felt his claws prick my chest through my shirt, but his eyes never left mine. "Because he knew it would bring me back here. He needed time to recover, to heal, to put himself back together. He changed course, but the end game is the same. He made sure to send us that message with the kings. Killing David was the last sign. Everything pointed back to Green Creek."
"He's circling."
Joe smiled bitterly. "More like ensnaring. By pointing threats in your direction, he knew I'd have no choice but to come home."
"You always have a choice."
His smile softened. "Not when it comes to you." I couldn't take much more of this. My skin was buzzing, and I felt the need to touch and mark and bite. But I had to finish this first. I had to make sure.
"What do we do?"
He sighed. "What we have to. I'm tired of running, Ox. I'm tired of chasing shadows. All I want is to dig my feet into this earth, because it once belonged to my father, and I know he meant it for me too. This was his home. It's yours now, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with you and this, what you are. But I want it to be mine too. I want it to be ours. If you'll let us. If you'll have me. Doubts. Then, I'm not. No, he growled. You don't get to say that. You don't get to say you're not anything. Of course, he knew. Those residual fears that I couldn't ever be rid of. A holdover from when I didn't think I'd amount to much. Maybe I could see now that I meant something to someone, or someone's. Maybe I could see it in their eyes when they looked at me. But that didn't mean I didn't feel like I was still a kid playing dress-up, or a sheep in wolf's clothing. It was a mask. This thing I was, and I wore it well. Funny thing was, I almost believed it. Ox, Joe said, sounding frustrated. How can you not see it? I said, I'm human, as if that explained it all. To me, it did. He smiled. I know, and that's the best part of all. We were whispering now, as if saying this any louder wouldn't make it real. I said, what do we do? He said, whatever we can. I said, I don't know if I can do this, by myself. He said, you won't have to. Ox, don't you see? I'm here now. If you'll let me be. I said, you can't leave again. You can't. You can't. Even if he comes, and even if he runs again. Joe, you can't leave us again. You can't leave me again. He said, I won't. And I heard the promise behind those two words, the intent. Joe Bennett was many things to me, but he wasn't a liar. He might have had my anger, however much of it was still left. He might have held the remains of my trust in his hands. But Joe Bennett wouldn't lie to me. Not about this. Not when it meant so much. I believed him. So I don't know that I can be blamed for surging forward then, thinking now, and finally, and Joe, Joe, Joe. He grunted once, but I swallowed it down, my mouth on his, frantic and harsh. His hands came up and cupped my face, holding me close, and aside from the taste of him, all I could think about was the last time we were like this, side by side. We'd been saying goodbye then. And now it was hello, hello, I can't believe you're here, hello. It was clumsy at first. The angle was off, the rhythm filled with teeth and too much saliva. It hit me that I was only the second person he'd kissed in his life, if what he'd said was true. Frankie had been nothing but a passing thought, and I never wanted to know just how far they'd gone. So I gentled it down as well as I could, slowing the pace, dragging it out. He was already breathing heavily as I swiped my tongue along his lips. He let out a little gasp, the smallest of noises, and his lips parted, and my tongue touched his. One moment I was leaning over him, and the next I was flat on my back, with an alpha werewolf on top of me, a growl vibrating from his chest as he dragged his nose along my neck, up behind my ear, inhaling as he went. His lips trailed after, wet against my throat, huffing out little breaths on my skin, trying to get his scent to mix in with mine. He stretched out on top of me, and if there had been any doubt we were now evenly matched, that was long gone, given how we met perfectly from head to toe. He ground down onto me, and I felt the hard line of his cock pressing against mine. I reached up and wrapped my hand around the back of his head, holding him close against my neck. He was panting now, like it was overwhelming,
like all of this was crashing over him. He trailed his lips and tongue up my jaw until he kissed me again. He was still unsure, the kisses shy and unpracticed, but it felt more real than any other person I'd been with. I let go of the nape of his neck and slid my hand down the wide expanse of his back, trying to find skin, trying to feel the heat of him. His shirt had risen up, and I touched his back, pressing my hand flat against him, pushing him down as I pushed myself up, wanting the rough friction. He groaned into my mouth as our cocks lined up briefly before sliding next to each other. He was pulling back, just the smallest amounts, his lips still brushing mine, saying, "I don't know what to do. I've never done this. I don't know what to do." And his eyes were the brightest red I'd ever seen, like he was burning from the inside out. "I know," I said. "I know. I do. I'll take care of..." Which, really, I should have known never to tell a current bed partner of my past sexual experiences while in bed with him, especially if he happens to be an alpha on a hair trigger. The moment I said, "I do," because I did know what to do, my hands were pinned over my head, and Joe was snarling in my face, teeth sharp, and eyes flaring impossibly brighter. "You said you didn't do that while I was gone," he growled, hips stuttering against me, like they hadn't caught up with the fact that he was pissed. Not that he had any right to be. "I didn't," I snapped back. "I told you, I..." "No one else," he said, and then rolled his hips deliberately, like he wanted to see my reaction up close. I couldn't stop my eyes from fluttering shut, my tongue darting out to wet my lips. I said, "Joe," and he did it again, harder this time. "Say it," he said hotly, pressing his forehead to mine, circling his hips again and again. "You say it, Ox." It was fucked up. It really was. Because I knew what he wanted, what it meant to the wolf. And it was possessive, and not who I was. I wasn't a thing. But goddamn did that do more for me than anything else. There was the alpha part of me that gnashed its teeth at the thought. But there was the even bigger part, the part that was all Ox, that said, "Yes, yes, yes." "Say it," the wolf said near my ear. "Yeah," I said hoarsely. "Yours, Joe. I'm yours." He shook above me, inhaling sharply like he was surprised, like he didn't expect me to agree with him, to do what he said. I didn't know how deep his insecurities ran or how far his instincts were taking him, but he hadn't expected it. It was the start, I thought, for the both of us. Because even though he was still clumsy, even though he didn't know what to do, he sat up and straddled my waist, legs bent on either side of me. He rolled his hips again as he took his shirt by the hem and pulled it up over his head, revealing that wide chest of his, the sparse hair, the cut of his stomach. He tossed the shirt to the floor and leaned back on his hands as I traced along his stomach up to his chest. His nipples were dusky, little whorls of hair around them. I took one between my fingers and gave it a sharp twist, watching his stomach clench, mouth falling open. And because I could, I rose up, wrapping my arms around his back, holding him close to me, licking where my fingers had been. His nipple hardened under my tongue, and I scraped my teeth against him, just to feel him tremble. His dick was pressing against my stomach through denim, but I wasn't ready for it yet. He leaned over behind me as I worried his flesh with my teeth, pulling at my work shirt until he got it and the tank top I wore underneath up to my shoulders. I leaned slightly to let him pull them off. I didn't see where it went because there was so much skin pressed against mine. He burned hot, almost feverish, as he tilted my head back and kissed me again, sloppy and wet. He tasted like I thought he would, clean and powerful. He gripped the sides of my face with his hands as I dropped my own down to cup his ass, squeezing to pull him against me even more. He muttered my name against his lips before I tilted my head back again. His teeth found the skin near my throat and began sucking a mark. Something in me shifted, growling at the idea of him marking me, trying to get him to suck harder, to use more teeth. I wanted it there for everyone to see, so no one could make a mistake as to who put it there. These weren't thoughts I'd ever had with anyone else, but then, I'd never been with someone like him. I reached between us as he continued marking me, trying to grab for the front of his jeans. I missed the fly, and my knuckles dragged against the hard outline of his cock. It was an accident, but I did it again when he whined against my neck. I pressed harder, with purpose. He rutted against me as I did my best to grip him, but the denim was too soft between my fingers, the friction too light. I reached up and pushed against his chest, leaning him back again. His eyes were red and heavy-lidded as he looked down between us, slack-jawed. His lips were swollen and slick, and I had the savage thought that I'd done that. I'd made him look that way. I flipped the button of his jeans with a practiced twist of my wrist, something that caused him to growl. I ignored him. He didn't need to be upset with my experience, especially since he was going to benefit from it. "Jesus," I muttered. "What is with you and not wearing underwear?" He grinned sharply down at me. I had hopes. I snorted and trailed my fingers along the base of his cock, his wiry pubic hair scratching against the back of my hand. His breath caught in his chest, and I was almost struck dumb at the fact that I was teasing him, that he was here, that we were together, and I was teasing him. The thought that I was the only one that had done this to him, and I was certain of that now, only made me feel more powerful. That I was the only one who'd seen him like this, and the only one who will get to, a little voice whispered in my head. But I pushed that away, because it was too much for me to even think about, even though the lizard part of my brain said yes, and yes, and yes. I pulled his dick out of his jeans, careful of the zipper. He was uncut and half-hard, his dick slimmer than mine, and maybe a little longer. The weight of it in my hand short-circuited my brain a bit. Wolves burn warm, and it felt hot in my hands. I gripped it, squeezing as carefully as I dared, watching the foreskin slide as he grunted and thrust into my hand. "Ox," he said, sounding breathless and strangled. "I know," I said gently, as I tightened my grip on him. "You gotta, I know, do something." I let go of his cock, and he exhaled heavily, like he'd been punched in the stomach. Before he could protest, I raised my hand toward his face and said, "Lick." He didn't even question it. He grabbed my hand and brought it to his mouth, tongue rasping over my palm, up between my fingers, before sucking two of them into his mouth, getting them spit slick and wet. I ground my teeth together to keep from shoving him back and taking what I wanted right then and there. This wasn't about me, though. Not yet. I needed to make this good for him. I pulled my hand away, and he whimpered, reaching up and wiping his mouth with the back of his hand. "What are you?" The rest of it was choked off when I grabbed his dick again, and using his spit, slid my hand up and down. His hands came down to my shoulders, claws out, but not digging into my skin as I jacked him off. His stomach muscles tensed as I leaned forward and licked up to his chest. He wrapped his arms around my neck, pulling me close, barely leaving enough space for my hand between us. He was growling near my ear, a continuous purr that I was going to make fun of him later for. I swiped my thumb over the tip of his dick, and his hips jerked. I groaned, my cock pressing painfully against my zipper, trapped under his ass. I couldn't get off like this, and I didn't want to. I wasn't a kid anymore. I didn't need to nut in my jeans. I nosed my way up to his neck, and it wouldn't be until later that I realized he never froze, never pulled away. He bared his throat to me as if it were nothing, as if he weren't an alpha who was unused to doing such things. The throat, I knew, was a vulnerable place for a wolf. It showed rank, especially for an alpha. Betas always bared their throats to the alpha as a sign of respect. Even the humans in my pack had taken to doing it whenever they saw me, an unconscious action I didn't think they were aware of anymore. But his neck was back, like he'd never been threatened before, like he'd never been hurt before, and I knew what it meant. I latched my teeth onto the skin, and I bit. Not enough to draw blood, but enough to make him feel it. His wolf was close to the surface, if the noises he was making meant anything, and I felt more animal than man. Words like mine, and mate, and claim, running a loop through my head. It wasn't enough. I pushed him back. He went without protest, bouncing on the bed, his dick displayed obscenely, jeans low on his hips. I jerked them down, fingers grazing against his strong thighs. He was jerky in his movements as he helped, trembling in his excitement. He tried to kick his jeans off, grunting in frustration when they caught on his feet. I pressed a hand against his leg, trying to get him to calm. He raised his head from the bed, looking at me. His eyes were blue again, back to normal. But he was flushed, a shine of sweat on his forehead. I reached down to where his jeans had bunched around his feet and pulled them off. Joe Bennett was nude, spread out in my old bed, waiting for me to move. His cock was curved and jutting up toward his stomach. His balls lay against his thigh, shifting when he moved his leg. His thighs were hairy, and I wanted to run my hands and tongue on them, to touch, to taste. He was the most precious thing I had. And at least for the moment, I did have him. Whatever happened later, this could not be taken from me. "What is it?" he asked, sounding nervous. "Nothing," I said, voice rough. "I'm just... you're here." "Yeah," he said. "Yeah, Ox. I'm here." He lifted his foot and poked a toe against my chest. I caught his ankle, holding it in place. I leaned down and pressed a kiss against the bone, and he sighed, squirming slightly as I exhaled against him. I kissed his calf as I reached down and unbuttoned my own jeans. The pressure eased some, and it was enough for what I wanted to do. There could be a good pain, and I wanted to push against those boundaries. I continued up his leg, reaching his knee. He huffed a laugh when I kissed the inside of his knee, and I grinned. I arched an eyebrow at him, but he just rolled his eyes and made an impatient noise. "You need something?" I asked, not moving, but still holding his leg up. "You bastard," he said. "You know what you're doing." "I have no idea what you're talking about."